The Jews are approaching the land of Israel at the end of their 40-year journey in the Sinai desert. And there was a nation, Moab, that was getting very scared because they saw that Jews broke free from their slavery in Egypt. And this was something that was unthinkable because Egypt was the superpower of the world back then. And not only did they escape from Pharaoh, they also traveled for 40 years in desert, or at that time, almost 40 years. And they were able to ward off everyone who was trying to attack them. And this is also unthinkable because there is a nation which is a small, relatively small nation without their own land. And they're just wandering through the desert. They're looked at as nomads, and they're able to win every battle, everybody who attacks them. So something is strange. And then Moab sees that these Jews will be their neighbors. So Moab is thinking, oh boy, something is really, really, really spooky here, because if your neighbor is so strong, it's very dangerous. Back then, neighbors would always attack each other. We Jews usually don't attack people for no reason, but the Moab nation did not know that. So they were scared. And what do? They realize that God is on our side. They realize that something has to be supernatural in order for Jews to be able to pull off whatever they were pulling off. And this is why they realize that the only way to overpower Jews is by cursing them. They hire Bilaam. Bilaam was a non-Jewish prophet of that time, and they are asking him to curse the Jews. And they realize that if Jews will be cursed, then it's going to be easier to conquer them and to destroy them. So Bilaam, being a prophet, says, listen, I am ready to curse the Jews, but I can only do what God allows me to do. So I'm going to stand there, and I am going to say whatever God allows me to say. I'll try to say the curses that I have in mind, but if God will not let me utter them, then it won't work. So he is taking up this project, but with a disclaimer: past performance is never guarantee of future results. And he goes. He stands on top of the hill that allows him to see the entire Jewish nation. And he is starting to say whatever he wants to say, but instead, only blessings come out of his mouth. Balak is very, very upset. Bilaam himself is very confused. And he tells Balak, I warned you. I told you that there's no 100% guarantee here. You were taking a risk when you were hiring me. I made a disclaimer. So then Bilaam says, you know what? When I saw Jews right now, I only saw their good side. I'm seeing the entire Jewish camp, and I see how beautiful it is, and I see how well they get along and how well they live with each other. As a matter of fact, he said one of the things he noticed that when Jews were pitching their tents in the desert, they were making sure not to put their entranceways one against another, so this way they would protect each other's privacy. People would not be able to see their neighbors across the walkway, I guess, inside their tent. This is how they were making sure to be modest and private. So Bilaam said, I even appreciated that. And this is why only blessings came out of my mouth. So we need to change something. Let's go to a different vantage point. Let's go to a new place where I will not be able to see the entire Jewish nation, the entire Jewish camp, but only a part of it, only a side of it. Why is it? We know that the bias in the media today is pronounced not only in the things they say, but it actually is pronounced more in the things they don't say, the things that they don't mention. When person says something, he could say something which is 100% true, just it's not the entire picture. It's taken out of context. And this is how you can twist the story without lying. You are saying the truth, you're not lying. But because you are not saying the entire story, but only a part of it, it looks bad for a certain person. A news reporter can say that I punched my neighbor. The news reporter might just omit that it was at a time when this neighbor came to me with a gun trying to shoot me. The news reporter said the truth. I was punching my neighbor, but there's a major part of a story that was omitted. So, just like people do that in their reports when they broadcast news, people also do it in their own mind. Very often, we don't like someone and we look for justifications for our dislike of this person. And whenever we see that this person is doing something wrong, we actually, somewhere deep inside, get happy. Oh, you see, I was right for not liking him because he's doing this and this bad thing. This is how our biases in our own mind work. So sometimes we want to see negative sides of others. And if we see only a small part of the entire picture, it helps our biases. Because I will not see that person A came to person B with a gun, but I just see that person B punches person A. So I want to see only a part of a story. You can call it willful ignorance. We could bring millions of examples of these things in politics, in social issues, in conversations between people. So I sometimes want to see only a part of the story, the part that will benefit my side, the part that will benefit my already formed opinion. So Bilam is saying, one second, the problem here was that I saw the entire Jewish camp. I saw the entire picture. And the entire picture looks, unfortunately, pretty good. I can't find anything bad to say about them. So let me look only at a part of Jewish camp. Maybe if I'll see only a part, I will see some things which are out of context. I'll see some things which will, at least from that vantage point, look negative. And then I'll have a reason to say something bad about them. And this is the whole idea of a curse. What's a curse? Curse means that I see something bad about another person and I expound on it. I exaggerate it. I tell God, you see, this person is doing such a bad thing. I see other people. You see, this person is doing such a bad thing. He needs to be punished. So Bilam is saying, I want to see at least something bad that I will be able to latch onto. Let me go to this other side. And he goes to this other side and nothing. God makes sure that he doesn't see anything bad. Now, I got a news for you. This was probably a miracle. It's not that Jews don't have anything bad going on in their camps. It's not that Jews are perfect. But God made a miracle that Bilam didn't see anything bad. God makes a lot of miracles. Then he tries a third time and the same thing. Even his attempts of being willfully ignorant didn't work. So then Bilam says, okay, I lay my arms. This project was not successful. But I have a suggestion. Let's try a new strategy. What is the suggestion? I was not able to find any sins amongst the Jews. But if I couldn't find them, it means that right now there's none. But we can create them. We could make Jews sin. And this is when he suggests to Balak, the king of Moab, send your daughters into the Jewish camp, because Jews were right next to the nation of Moab. Send your daughters to the Jewish camp as prostitutes. Seduce Jewish men. And you will make Jews sin, and then you'll have a reason to curse them. Ha ha ha! If you can't find anything bad, create bad. And unfortunately, that worked. Jews were seduced by Moabite women, and this is when one person, Pinchas, stood up for God's honor. The problem was not only that Jews were seduced by Moabite women and they were doing immoral things, they were also doing it publicly and they were doing it proudly. You see, whenever I sin, I feel bad about it. The only way for me not to feel bad about it is to make sure that everybody else does it together with me, and to compensate for my feeling of guilt, I will be telling everybody that I'm proud of it. We sin with pride. And this is what Jews did. Sinning became cool. The celebrities of the Jewish nation of back then were all involved in this immoral behavior. And they were doing it publicly. Pinchas couldn't stand it. And he took things into his own hands. And he killed a Jewish man and a Moabite woman who were involved in inappropriate behavior in front of everyone. This sent a shockwave amongst the Jews. This made them realize, oh boy, maybe we are doing something wrong. Because when Pinchas was doing it, he was actually risking his life because the mob of supporters could have killed him. But he did it, and God made a miracle that he was okay. And Jews then realized that, oh boy, we better shape up. So this is the short story of last week's Torah portion and this week's Torah portion together. But it tells us a very interesting insight. It gives us an insight on how we work. We very often look for bad in other people. And if we don't, we try to create this bad, unfortunately. Why? Because it helps us emotionally. It supports our preconceived notions. And it's something we need to combat within ourselves. Curse works by me finding something negative and latching onto it and expounding on it. That's what curse is. If somebody's completely righteous, I have no way of cursing you because I have nothing to latch my curse on. I need to have some handle to hold on to. Our mitzvahs that we do protect us from these curses. The more mitzvahs we do, the more protection we have. The Torah speaks about people being cursed, but the Torah also says that the only way how curses can stick to someone is because of the wrong things he's doing. And the more mitzvahs you do, the more you're protected. It's like a virus. Virus needs an environment that it could grow in. Virus cannot exist on its own, as opposed to bacteria. Bacteria could live on its own. A virus can only live in an existing organism. But if this organism is healthy, then virus cannot live there. Only if there's something wrong already, if this organism has a weakness, then virus could survive and live there. So the healthier you are, the stronger your immune system is, the less there is chance that the virus is going to latch onto you. Completely righteous person cannot be cursed because there's nothing to latch onto for this curse.